Let's look in our Bibles to the book of Exodus to chapter 20. The book of Exodus, and in chapter 20, I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 11. Exodus in chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Our subject is, our God is a jealous God. Notice in verse 5 once again, God makes a statement that is overlooked by many. He said, The Lord thy God, am a jealous God. God himself said that he was a jealous God. Some have the idea that all jealousy is sinful and evil. But evidently that is not so, because our holy God is a jealous God. Jealousy in itself is no more of a sin than anger is, as long as it is not mixed with the sinful passion of man. God is both a jealous God, and he's also a God of anger. A God of anger. Again, many think anger is something that is sinful, but it is not, because it is an attribute of a holy God. Look at a few passages, if you will. Numbers in chapter 32. In the book of Numbers and in chapter 32, notice verse 13. Numbers 32, verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. The reason that Israel had to wander 40 years in the wilderness was they kindled the anger of God by their sinfulness. Look at another passage, if you would, in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 7, I want you to notice with me verse 11. Psalm 7 and verse 11. Here the scripture says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, evidently, anger in and of itself is not sinful, because our God is a God of anger as much as he is a God of love. What about Jesus Christ? Look in the book of Mark, if you would. And you'll see the anger of Jesus Christ. In Mark and in chapter 3, and here I'll begin reading in verse 1. Mark 3 and in verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now there is a righteous, holy anger expressed by God, expressed by Jesus Christ, even as there is a holy and a righteous jealousy. In the book of Ephesians, notice this if you would. In Ephesians and in chapter 4, Ephesians and in chapter 4, you'll see a holy, righteous anger for the saints of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 26. Here the apostle did write, be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Our God is a holy God. He is not capable of sin. It is not that he just does not sin. He is not capable of sinning. Therefore, back in Exodus and in chapter 20 and in verse 5, God's jealousy is not a sinful jealousy. It must be a holy, righteous jealousy. Now, I'm going to also, while I'm in the New Testament, turn to 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11, I want you to just read one short statement by the Apostle Paul concerning the saints at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 11 and in verse 2. Paul wrote, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Godly jealousy. Exodus 20 and in verse 5, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, a sinless, holy, godly jealousy. Now, note something else in the book of Exodus, if you would, in chapter 34. In Exodus and in chapter 34, verse 14. Exodus 34 and verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. One of the names of God given to us in Scripture is jealous. We're told here in verse 14, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. One of the things I found very interesting in studying this, that the word jealous and the word zealous is translated from the very same word in the original language. Zealous and jealous. We need to keep that in mind. I'm going back to our text, Exodus, and in chapter 20. When we look at the verses that we have read, verses 1 through verse 11, the law that was given by God, I suppose that what we have in verse 1 through verse 11, or the first part of the commandments, was the first table of stone that God had written. But if you closely examine each one of the laws that are given in our text, every one of them expresses God's jealousy for His own deity and His own glory. Every one of what we read in verse 1 through verse 11 is an expression of God's jealousy for His person, for His honor, for His deity, and for His glory. In verse 2, He said, "I am the Lord thy God." Now, everything following that, He is emphasizing that statement. Being the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, He has a sovereign right to regulate by law His creatures. His people, we could say. Verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I am the Lord thy God. That excludes anything and everything else. Again, emphasized by, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verses 4 and 5. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or there's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Why? "Because I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Can you see how the law of God is an expression of His jealousy for His person, His name, for everything about Him? Hold your place if you would. I'm going to Isaiah in chapter 42. In Isaiah and in chapter 42, a statement that carries so much impact on the person and work of God, even His jealousy. Isaiah 42 and in verse 8, He states again, "I am the Lord. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God will not share His glory with anyone or anything. I am the Lord. Now, remember with me, if you would, and it relates to the context in Exodus in chapter 20. The plagues that God sent upon Egypt, we know they were designed to free the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. That was their purpose. But there's also another purpose. The great mighty nation of Egypt, I suppose, the most powerful upon the earth at that time. But they had a plurality of false gods. Notice, if you would, Exodus in chapter 12. In Exodus and in chapter 12, verse 12. Exodus 12 and in verse 12. The Lord said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt." Many people have different ideas about angels passing through the land of Egypt and different things, but my Bible says the Lord said He would. After all, in the latter part of verse 11, it is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Every one of the plagues of Egypt was designed against one of the gods of the Egyptians. So there was a twofold purpose in the plagues of Egypt. But what was true with God's dealings with Egypt is also true of his dealings with Israel. Look in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, and in chapter 4, Deuteronomy and in chapter 4, I'll begin in verse 23. Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 23. Take heed unto yourself, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image. Now again, he says, take heed to this, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. And in forgetting, you make a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath bidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Even a jealous God. Now, they had warning here in verse 23. Take heed that you don't forget the covenant of the Lord your God, and in forgetting, make a graven image. Now look at chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy and in chapter 32, in verse 16, Deuteronomy 32, 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. When the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Israel, because of their sin, provoked God to jealousy, and they provoked him to anger. In the book of Psalm, in Psalm 78, verse 58 and verse 59. Psalm 78, verse 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. When God's chosen and redeemed people made graven images and worshiped other gods, they provoked God to jealousy, and they kindled his anger. Now some might say, well, that was way back then and has nothing to do with us today. Well, don't be too sure about that. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you would. In the book of 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11, I'll begin in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, keep this in mind. In this one verse, in verse 4, you have another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel. There are many today who wear the name of Christian, who deny the person, deity, and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They use the name of Jesus, but as verse 4 says, it's another Jesus. Do you think that might provoke our God to jealousy and anger? There are many when it comes to the Spirit in verse 4. There are many who wear the name of Christian, who deny the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Just totally disregard the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that might provoke God to jealousy? Even unto anger? You have gospel, another gospel in verse 4. There are so many that adamantly, strongly oppose the true gospel of the grace of God. For another gospel. They want another gospel. I think that would provoke God to jealousy and anger. God sent his Son into this world on a mission to do specific works. We know that part of it was the work of redemption and the salvation of his people, but there were more works for Jesus to do. At the end of his life, he said, I finished the work that you gave me to do. One of those works were to establish his church upon this earth. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, this church that Jesus established is called the Church of the Living God. Established, organized by his Son, here upon this earth. Now I'll ask the question again. When people had rather align themselves with a church that is started by some man or some organization other than the church that was started by the Son of God, would you not think that would provoke the Lord to jealousy and even anger? Totally neglecting the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. There are many today who would rather hold the teaching, the doctrines, plural, and the traditions of men above the doctrine of God. In the book of Titus chapter 2 and in verse 10, I'm not turning there, it just simply speaks of the doctrine of God our Savior. How many today had rather have another doctrine than the doctrine of God our Savior? Surely that provokes God to jealousy and to anger. Romans in chapter 9. In the book of Romans and in chapter 9, and here I'll read verse 15 and verse 16. I'm going to just point out here how contrary and contradictory the doctrine of men, how it is so in contrast to the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God. Men would so much rather have the doctrine and traditions of men than the doctrine of God. And especially in relation to the salvation of sinners. Romans 9, verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, the doctrine of men would say, it is of him that willeth. God said, verse 16, it is not of him that willeth. But the doctrine of free will salvation says, it is of him that willeth. Totally in contrast to the doctrine of God. Modern religion would say, it is of him that willeth, it is of him that runneth, and it's not of God that showeth mercy. The doctrine of free will in the matter of salvation is a slap in the face to the doctrine of God. It totally opposes the teaching of God and exalts man and the will of man above the things of God. God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion, but free willism says, no, it's not of God's will, it's man's will. Same thing in the book of John. John and in chapter 1 and in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The doctrine of men would say, but it is the will of the flesh. It is the will of man, and it's not of God. There are churches all around Grenada proclaiming this false teaching. Free willism is directly opposed to the things of God. Do you not think that would kindle God's jealousy and anger? Our God's a jealous God. I go back to Exodus and in chapter 20. In Exodus and in chapter 20, verses 1 through verse 6. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There's far, far more in these verses than many would suppose or even imagine. I don't have time to go all the way into that. But notice verse 7. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, I said all of these laws are expressions of God's jealousy. God is very jealous over his name. Over his name. Look in Ezekiel, if you would. In the book of Ezekiel and in chapter 39, Ezekiel chapter 39, and I'm going to read verse 25. Ezekiel 39, verse 25. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. God's name, there are many names for God in the scripture. God's name represents the totality of his person and who he is. God will not hold anyone guiltless who uses his name in vain. That's what Exodus 20 and in verse 7 tells us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because God will not hold them guiltless or without guilt. Now, taking the Lord's name in vain is not limited to profanity. There are other ways to take the name of the Lord in vain other than using profanity. Be turning to Jeremiah, if you would, to Jeremiah 23. There are many false prophets in the world today, even as it was years ago, who invoke the name of the Lord in promoting false doctrine. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Jeremiah, and in chapter 23, notice how they take the Lord's name in vain. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Notice this now. Verse 17. They say the Lord has said. Look at that in verse 17. They say the Lord has said. Look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying I have dreamed a dream. How many today use the name of the Lord in promoting false anti-God doctrine? Look at verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Don't know how many preachers I've heard over the years that would tell the people, and just stone-faced serious, God told me this. God told me to say this to you. And there's nothing in the Word of God consistent with what they say after that. They say, God said. God said. How many times have I heard people say, well, God said this or that, and I know God never said it. It's not in this book. Preachers all the time are saying, he saith, when God never said it. Verse 31, God said, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. taking the Lord's name in vain, God will not hold them guiltless. They are making God out a liar. They're using God's name to promote heresy. Much more could be said here, but I'm going to move on. Exodus 20 once again. The jealousy of God. I am the Lord your God. Don't make any other gods. I'm the only God. Don't worship anything else. Don't make a graven image out of anything else. I'm a jealous God. I am the only God. Verse 7, thou shalt not take my name in vain. He's very jealous over his name. He will not hold anyone without guilt that uses his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God is jealous over his day, the Lord's day. He's jealous over it. That's his time. That's his time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In this law that is given here, this command, God is exercising his sovereign right and rule over our time. You got 6 days to do all your work. Seventh day. Seventh day. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. When God's people allow anything or anyone to interfere with their worship on the Lord's day, it must provoke the Lord to jealousy. They're putting others or other things before God. And God said, you should have nothing before me. First and great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let me look at something else in the book of Psalms. Psalm 138, I've already touched on this, but I will again briefly. In Psalm 138, verse 2, Psalm 138 and in verse 2, David, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God is jealous over his word. His word. Just consider, Almighty God has given his word. Now, when people had rather have something other than his word, do you not think that would invoke him to jealousy? That they'd rather have something than his word? They prefer something over the very word of God. But there are so many that give precedent to other things other than scripture. Traditions of men. Traditions of men in religion. Well, we believe this. Old brother so-and-so, he preached that to us all the time I was growing up. It's got to be true. Just hold on to things of men. And somebody present the word of God and they say, well, I know the Bible says that, but when they get to that but, they just have gone too far. But I believe, I think, I feel it's this way. That kind of thinking will provoke God to jealousy and anger. You prefer something other than what God said. God is jealous over his word. In Exodus 20, again, I'm not going to read it all, but in verse 1 through verse 8, the commandments of God relating to God, expressions of his jealousy. Paul asked a question in a different context, but I'll refer to his question in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 22. You might note the question of God, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? That's what Paul asked the Corinthians. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? That's a question of self-examination for both individuals and churches. Our God is a jealous God.